Now we're going to get to the Word of God. If you want to open your Bibles with me, we're in the book of Philippians, and we are now into chapter 4 of Philippians. There's only 4 chapters, so we're nearing the end, but our text today is going to be Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. That's what we're going to be kind of centering on and just drawing out today. We have Rob Shovel, the Apostle Paul, who has been writing this letter to the Philippian congregation, the congregants that are in Philippi, which is a town that's in present-day Macedonia by Greece. It's technically in Europe, first congregation in Europe of all the early congregations. Now, as he's going through the book, some of the points that he's made, I just want to, just a very quick review of the first 3 chapters. There's a lot of great encouragement for today, which is the title of the book, but also instruction for us, even as he encourages us. Some of the points that he's made are, we should be abounding in love. Are we abounding in love in our lives? We should be living in humility, which is, of course, the opposite of pride. That can be difficult at times. We talked all about these things. Just basic, solid truths for you and I. This is like the no-frills book, I feel. It's the no-frills book, and he just says what he means, and there's really no trappings about it. It's just encouraging us, but instructing us. And today we have some general encouragement and direction. But it's today's passage is about how. It's about the how we should live. Now, many times, followers of Yeshua, let's just be blunt because Rob Shaul is blunt in his book, right? Many times, followers of Yeshua, we have a weak faith. It's not a strong faith at times. It can waver, right? It can waver, unfortunately, based on circumstances. We can have a weak faith sometimes. The first sign of a problem or an issue, and we recoil. If we're honest with ourselves, we've all been there. Rather than when problems come, standing firm in the Lord. Well, he's going to talk to us about that today. The Lord's going to speak to us about that today in the text. Many times, as followers of Yeshua, we want to be, or we're instructed to be, people that, you know, look past an offense or are very patient with different things. But unfortunately, many times, as followers of Yeshua, we can be very judgmental as people. We can look at other people and say, well, I'm holier than you, or I do this thing, you do this thing, and this thing's not good, but my thing is good. You know what I'm talking about. So we can unfortunately be very judgmental as believers if we're honest with ourselves. Now look, right is right and wrong is wrong. We have to say this is scripturally accurate, this is against scripture. You know, there's the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. In the Torah, there's 200 and something positive commandments, but over 300 negative commandments. And we have to look at both of those things. So right is right and wrong is wrong. But we thank goodness, right? We thank the Lord for his mercy every single day. Because if right was right and wrong was wrong, and we were paid according to what we did, we would not be here today, right? The Lord would execute judgment because that's what we deserve. But thank goodness for the mercy and grace of Yeshua, because as the scripture says, while we were sinners, Messiah died for us. So we should make an effort to not be judgmental, to look past offenses. This is what they're talking about today, live at peace with others as much as we can. And many times, as followers of Yeshua, we can be, I'm just going to use the word, we can be grouchy. Okay? You ever met grouchy believers? Have you ever been a grouchy believer? There's been times when I've been a little grouchy. Everybody knows what grouchy is, right? Is that an old word? I'm showing my age. Grouchy, have a bad attitude, be looking at the glass half empty. We've all met believers like that. We've all been like that many times. But instead of being grouchy, we're called to rejoice. And that always is hard. I think most times it's hard because things happen, and our natural reaction is to be grouchy, but God wants us to have joy in him, live a life full of faith, loving God, loving others, always rejoicing in him, no matter the circumstances. This is regardless of circumstances. You know, joy is something that you and I can have regardless of what we're going through. Happiness is really tied to our circumstances. We need to be people of joy, not happy people. I mean, you could be happy, but I'm saying sometimes we'll be sad. Sometimes there's sadness. When we're mourning, we talked about, we have, you know, liturgy that talks about when we're in mourning for a loved one, when we're mourning the loss of something. It's okay to be sad sometimes. People think just because you're not happy, you're not in God's will. It's not the case. But rather than always be concentrating on being happy, we should concentrate on having joy and rejoicing, which is where the word comes from. You know, joy, rejoicing has got joy in it. Always rejoicing. So let's turn to Philippians 4:1, and we'll begin the text today. Chapter 4, verse 1. He's saying, Rab Shaul, through the Holy Spirit, is instructing the Philippians. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Standing firm. I wish that everything in life was easy, because it would be very easy to stand firm, don't you? I think we would all say that. If you had a choice, everything could go great in your life or have problems, I think everybody would say, I'd like the great part, Lord. I'd like, you know, everything to go according to plan. I'd like no problems in my life. But here's the thing. We don't live in heaven now. This isn't heaven. We talked about that. This is this world, not the world to come. And we can't confuse the two, because this world has problems. This world has challenges. In this world, you and I are going to mess up. When we have glorified bodies and we're with the Lord in the world to come, it's a whole different story. But right now, we have to recognize where we are. And it's hard in this world to stand firm, to have faith that doesn't waver. We tend to question God. You know, we get a promise from God, and then we expect the way to be paved. You ever gotten a promise from God? And you, at least for me, it's like, okay, thanks for the promise. Let's go. Let's get to that promise. I want that promise now. Well, what does he almost always say? He says, wait. And it never feels good to wait. But we have to hold on to the promise. Abraham waited over 20 years to have Isaac. They were barren well after he was given the promise many times by God. So we get a promise from him. We expect the way to be paved, the timing to be immediate, but many times it's not. Now, when Yeshua started his earthly ministry, remember what happened. He was coming. Everything was lining up. He comes to the Jordan River, and he is immersed by his cousin, Yohanan, John the Baptist. You hear the voice of the Father coming down. You know the scripture in Matthew, and it says, this is my beloved Son, you know, the voice of the Father. And you have this dove coming down that's representing the Spirit of the living God. And that Spirit is there. And you have the Son there. You have the triune nature of God all right there. And it's like this big moment. And you would think, it's time. It's time for Yeshua just to get to business and let's go. Let's go with his earthly ministry, with everything that he was supposed to do. And then the next thing that happens is he goes into the wilderness. And he fasts 40 days and nights, and he's tired, and nothing is going like you would think it would go, and he's weak, and the enemy comes to him and is tempting him and trying to get him to go away from the Lord. You would not think that this would be the case, but this is what happens with Yeshua. And what does Yeshua do? He stands firm. He quotes scripture to take, you know, to thwart the words of the accuser. When we're going through valleys, when there's promises that you and I have and it's just not happening, it's easy to not stand firm. But like Yeshua, we need to stand firm. But it's easy for us to question when we go into a wilderness. Where's God? Did God really tell me that? Did he really call me here? Did he really want me to do that? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Many scriptures, obviously, there's parallels in scripture. We can look at the life of Yeshua and look at about how he had this coronation of sorts and then goes into the wilderness. And we can see in our lives, there's high points and then you might immediately be in a wilderness desert. But it doesn't mean God has forsaken you. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. That's easy to do when things are going great and we hear the voice of God. It's hard to do when we're in the desert and we hear the voice of the accuser. But we must continue, because God is our firm foundation if we let him be. And God is our rock if we allow him to be. Psalm 71, verse 3. It says, the psalmist says here, be to me, he's talking to God, be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Now, a fortress is a strong, secure place. When you have a fortress, nobody's getting through. You're safe in a fortress. You're protected in a fortress. This is God for us. Turn to Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. The one word we don't like in those two verses is the word waits. But that's many times what we're called to do. What an encouraging verse, though. God is my fortress. As I'm going through the wilderness, he is with me. As I'm going through the valley, he is going to walk with me, walk together with me. But we have to do our part, and our part is standing firm in the Lord. That's point number one in our message. Stand firm always in the Lord, not just in the good times, but in the deserts and wildernesses as well. Back to our passage today, Philippians chapter 4. Verses 2 and 3. Now, we move on in the text. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche. Boy, those are names you don't hear every day, right? To agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are written in the book of life. The context here is we're talking about believers. We're not talking about the world. We're not talking about people that don't have a Yeshua faith. These are followers of Messiah Yeshua. And we often view the Bible and biblical characters, no matter if it's David and Moses or these two ladies that are mentioned, we view these people as like superhumans, right? They're like way out there, and they're so different from us today. It's like celebrities. You view celebrities a certain way, and you're just not. You know, you're just a regular person. Or at the very least, we feel very far removed from them. But we have to remember, every single person we read about in the Bible, besides Yeshua, had the same problems and messed up, had the same issues, had the same illnesses and things that they go through that we go through, just like us is who they were. So now we have these two people, these two women. They're having some type of disagreement. Guess what? We're going to have disagreements in our lives as believers. Remember, this is all believers he's talking about. And not only is he talking about believers, he's saying, you know, they're written in the book of life. Help them, be with them. So there's no like excommunication because they disagree with each other. But there is an idea that we're not always going to agree on everything, and we're still all, you know, in the Lord together. So these women, they were, between the two of them, they were having a problem. They were having a disagreement. And we're going to disagree about things sometimes between ourselves, just like these two women. That's okay. You know, remember in the membership meetings that we just had, and I always talk about this in membership meetings every year, every time we do it, that we have the black and white issues. Those are the things that you and I, as followers of Yeshua, as members of Kol Mashiach, we have to agree on. We have to agree that God exists. We have to agree that he is sovereign. We have to agree that we're sinners. We have to agree that Yeshua is the Messiah. Those are like the basics for membership. Those are the basics for really connecting as part of a community together. So I always mention this. There's the black and white issues. They're theological, and we have to be in agreement. But there are gray areas. We don't always agree on the gray areas. There's freedom in the Lord in the gray areas. You may be completely convinced that whatever gray area it is, I don't know, you've got your gray areas, I got mine. Whatever gray area you have, you may be convinced it's black and white. But we have to understand many times they're gray. And this is what's caused splits within denominations over the 2,000 years that we've had. Many times it's over these gray issues that we elevate to black and white issues. People, we need to have mercy and grace for each other. You know, there's the black and whites and there's the grays. But we have to say, being part of a congregation, the synagogue has certain positions that the synagogue has taken, the leadership has taken, and we have to respect that. Give you an example. When we go to Oneg next door, we're going to have kiddush, we're going to have bagels, we're going to have, you know, but sometimes we have special kiddushes when people bring dishes. And we always say, don't bring pork, don't bring shellfish, you know, the forbidden foods that are talked about in the Torah. Now, I'm going to make a controversial statement. Whatever you do in your own house is between you and the Lord. And I'm not going to condemn you because you feel convicted one way on that issue. Now, you could come to me and say, Rabbi, I can give you all these scriptures why that's absolutely, completely wrong. And then other people will come and give me other scriptures. If you want to debate, if you want to talk about it, let's go in my office. We can have a nice chat. We could talk all day long about it. But it is something the synagogue has taken a position on. If you don't personally feel that way, that's okay. But we ask that you respect it. And you could talk about any number of things with positions in the synagogue. But we have to have grace for each other. We're not going to agree on everything. And you know what? Here's the other thing. There's no perfect congregation. I know that might shatter some people. There is no perfect congregation. And I used to think there was when I was a little kid. And then, you know, you grow up a little bit. And then you realize no congregation is perfect this side of heaven. Remember, we're in this side of heaven, not in heaven. So there's no perfect congregation this side of heaven. If you go from place to place and you find something you might disagree on, if it's a gray area, you can talk to the leaders, you can have conversations. Now, if it's a black and white area and it's heresy or something, you need to kind of move on, all right? I'm just going to tell you that, give you that counsel right now. But in the gray areas, when you find things you disagree with, and people do it all the time, they leave. They go to the next congregation. And guess what happens at the next congregation? It might be 5 minutes after they get there. It might be 5 years after they get there. Another issue will pop up, and they're going to disagree with how the church or the synagogue does it. So this is what we call the church-hopping people or the synagogue-hopping people. So we have to understand there's no perfect place, and we're never going to find everything that we agree with. But just like these women, we're going to have disagreements. But we need to be respectful of each other in the gray areas. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. It's pretty cut and dry, right? Pretty simple. Now turn to Romans chapter 14. Let's go a couple of chapters forward. Romans 14, 19. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. We need to be focusing in the synagogue on things that provide unity and mutual upbuilding. Yes, we'll have disagreements, but we need to work through those things. And when we have disagreements, it's all about how we handle them, isn't it? It's all about how we handle them. We will have to recognize that we're going to have these things. And as followers of Yeshua, sometimes we naively think we have to be in agreement with each other on everything, every political opinion, every societal opinion. But there's going to be disagreements. There's going to be problems. But it's ignorant to think that in all issues, we're going to agree on everything. But how are we going to handle it? Are we going to take up an offense towards each other? Or are we going to disagree? It's okay to disagree. But you know, there's ways to do it and ways not to do it. The way to do it is to say, I disagree, but let's move on. The way not to do it is in two words, and it's called Lashon Hara, which is the evil tongue. And unfortunately, throughout the history of the church and the synagogue, there's been disagreements that have turned into problems and offenses. And we need to guard against those things. I think this is what Shaul was saying for us today, striving, even with our disagreements, for unity. Psalm 133:1. Let's listen to these words, which I know we've heard many, many times. We've sang them. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. Now, unity is not uniformity. Unity is not uniform. You can have unity with somebody and disagree with them about positions and situations. That's okay. But the point, and point number two in our message, is let's live in harmony with each other. I'm sure that these women got this thing worked out. I know that Clement and all these people helped them. And as a congregation, we help each other. But live in harmony. Now back to our Philippians text. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. We'll continue to the end of the text now. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. So it's repeated. Verse 5, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yeshua. That's nice. That's great. So many good things here. I don't have time. We don't have time to talk about them all. Don't be anxious. Give your request to God. Let us reason together. Have the peace that passes all understanding. We could do a whole sermon series on the peace that passes all understanding, the shalom that we can have. All good things. Wish I had time to delve into them all. But what I want to focus on is the very first part of the very first verse that we read, verse 4, which is rejoice. Rejoice always. How easy it is to do when everything is going right. How hard it is to do when everything seems to be going wrong. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Here in the book of Acts, we're going to go to verse 24 in just a minute. Here in the book of Acts, we find Paul, Rav Shaul, and Silas, his partner here in the ministry. And they've been talking about Yeshua. They've been speaking about the Lord, and what happens? They're thrown into prison. Yikes. Thrown into prison. Now, this could have been one of those situations where they say, God, I was only doing what you called me to do. Why did I get thrown into prison? How come you let this happen to me? I thought you loved me. I thought you were going to take care of me. I thought everything was going to go great when I gave it all to you. Because they gave it all to him, Paul and Silas. But the result of that was they got thrown into prison. Doesn't make any sense. Acts 16, 24 and 25. Having received this order, he put them, the guard, put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Let me stop right there. That is not no American prison. You know what I'm saying? That's a dungeon. That sounds like a dungeon to me. That sounds like a gross place. That sounds like a place where nobody's going to be coming and looking for you. And they were put there, and their feet were put in the stocks. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. They were not questioning God. They were rejoicing in God. Psalm 118, verse 24. Let's go to Psalm 118. It simply says this: this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Maybe when Paul and Silas woke up that morning, they didn't think they'd be able to end up that day in prison. But they probably knew this scripture. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And what did they do? They rejoiced. They sang psalms. They praised God. It doesn't say in the scripture, if it's a perfect day, if everything goes right, at the end of the day, you can just say, I rejoice in you. Thank you for this great day. No, it says this is the day. Any could be any day. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. There could be problems. There could be not problems. It could be a day like Paul and Silas. But we have to rejoice and be glad in it. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. More pointedly, it says this in Romans 5:3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, who has been given to us. Whenever we get discouraged and you feel like, where's God? Open up Scripture. Remember what Yeshua refuted the enemy with? Scripture. Open up Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5, and read that. Now, this is not prosperity gospel stuff. That's fun to teach. That's fun when everybody's, you know, getting all crazy about how great everything is. This is everyday messy living. And being a believer is everyday messy living. It's very messy many times. Last scripture today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Let's go there. Very simply, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Messiah Yeshua for you. Even when logically it does not look good. Even when logically things are going so bad, you got bad news, things are falling apart around you, we have to be strong in the Lord. We have to even rejoice in all circumstances because that's God's will for us. It's not easy to do, but when we're getting closer and closer to God, when we're surrendering more and more, it's hard. It gets less easy because you have to grow up in the faith. When you're a kid, everything's easy. When you become an adult and you have adulting to do, it gets tough at times. But this is what God calls us to do. Point number three, rejoice always. All circumstances, rejoice always. Even when things are not going well, we have to remember this. We have a supernatural God. He doesn't have to follow the natural course of things. He doesn't have to deal with the things that we deal with and just say, oh, well, that's so-and-so. Oh, well, that's the world. He's sovereign. He can make the rules up. He has made the rules up, and we still don't live by them as a creation. But remember, we have a supernatural God. And that supernatural God has a plan for yours and my life. But we can't be short-sighted, because when we're short-sighted, we forget the promises. When we're short-sighted, we don't stand firm in the Lord. When we're short-sighted, we forget to rejoice in Him. But when we look and fix our eyes on Him and look long-term, we can see past the pain. We can see past the issues. We can see past the shortcomings, and we can look and we can see the Lord. God is our peace. God is with us. So let's rejoice in Him. Let's pray. God of Israel, we come to You recognizing where we fall short. We've come to You recognizing there's times when we get weary. We're in a desert. We're thirsty. And it just seems like it's all a mirage. It seems like nothing is going right. It seems like things are falling apart. But those are the times we've got to hold on to You. We've got to clutch You, Lord God. We've got to grab You and just hold on. Because, Lord, we know that You're there with us. We know that You're supernatural. And many times we go through these things for You to teach us things, for You to show us things, maybe for You to break down our pride and our issues. But God, we rejoice in You today. We rejoice because You're good, Your mercy endures forever, and You're with us. You're with us in every circumstance. And there is a promise that will be fulfilled, and that promise is of a better life one day, where there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more death, but there's only life. There's only life with You, Lord. So we thank You. We look forward to that day, even as we stand firm within the valleys and the deserts and the pits that we may find ourselves in today. We look to You, God, and we rejoice in You. We praise You in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.